Should there be a legislative audit into the retroactive pay raise given to the Capitol Police Chief? Our guest lawmaker says yes, and we will welcome your reaction and questions in this first half hour. After 7:30, we will look at the potential political fallout over the ongoing arrests of Solidarity sing-along protesters. Nearly 300 have been arrested over the past few weeks, including a firefighter, a Madison City Council member, a teenage girl, and an 85-year-old woman. We'll wonder if you view these arrests as appropriate and credit the governor for the crackdown, or do you think that this is an overreaction and want it to stop? We'll talk about that after 7:30. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 22nd. Our first guest is John Richards, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. He's a member of the legislature's Joint Audit Committee. He's calling for an audit of the retroactive pay increase for Capitol Police Chief Dave Irwin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, before we go into the issue itself, let's talk a tiny bit about the process. Today, you are circulating this proposal to get co-signers or support from other legislators?
Well, that's right. We are asking other legislators to sign on to a letter requesting a formal audit by the legislature's audit bureau into the pay increase that was given to Chief David Irwin and also to his deputy chief, Dan Blackdear. We're calling for that because that increase apparently violated the very clear rules that we have regarding civil service employees. These two gentlemen were transferred into fake jobs for about an hour and then transferred back on paper into other jobs with a whopping pay increase, 11% for the police chief, 15% for the deputy chief. And on top of that, the police chief got a retroactive pay increase of $720. And that also violates our civil service laws. So this is very questionable, and I'm concerned that at a time when we are limiting money that goes to our schools, we are throwing people off of Badger Care, we continue to lag the rest of the country in terms of job growth, and we need to put more resources into that. The place where we are spending state resources are on people who apparently have some sort of political connection to the Walker administration, and we're giving those increases in violation of the law.
Seriously, the paper transfer or the ghost job or the fake job, as you call it, lasted only 1 hour?
I don't know if it lasted an hour, but, you know, I don't know if he ever reported for work there. That's something that would be interesting to know. But it certainly had absolutely nothing to do with his duties as a sworn police officer. It was a job in the department administration that had an empty spot. It was a convenient place for him to land to get a pay increase that they wanted to do. And then they shuttled him back into his job as the police chief. All that took less than a day, for sure. And it may have just been done on paper, but regardless of those fine details about whether he actually sat down in the desk in the department administration, whether it was just a paper transfer, it still is highly, highly questionable. And I believe it's wrong to do that sort of transfer just for the sake of getting a pay increase, which is what they wanted to do. And to make it worse, they made it retroactive. We called on the police chief to give that money back, $720. He should return that money today and stop that part of the dispute. But we should also be looking into who approved these pay increases. Who approved this procedure? Did Governor Walker know about it? Did the Department of Administration chair head Mike Hitch know about it? These are things that we should be asking.
Well, here's what the Walker administration says happened. This is for the benefit of listeners, and then Representative Richards will get you to respond to this. This is a little bit complicated, and it's going to take a little while. But the Walker administration says the Department of Administration had a minimum salary listed for the police chief's position that was incorrectly posted before Irwin was hired last year. They say it should have been $111,000, but it was posted at $99,000, a difference of $12,000. DOA staff promised Irwin he would get bumped up to the higher amount after 6 months on the job, but then DOA neglected to do this. So then DOA transferred him to this fake job And then back to his real police chief job, though his work responsibilities, they say, never changed. Each of those two transfers came with a raise to bring him up to $111,000, and $720 of that was retroactive. DOA says it had to be done this way because Irwin is technically a civil servant and is not allowed to have a big raise, $12,000, without this paper transfer. So to boil it down, it was paperwork, they say, to correct a mistake in the original job posting, and there's nothing illegal about it. What do you make, Representative Richards, of that explanation?
Well, I think the whole episode doesn't smell right. You know, it's curious how you have these strange anomalies when you have people who are close to the Walker administration and do their bidding, and, you know, shazam, suddenly somebody who is a political ally gets to bend and break the rules of the civil service system and get these pay increases. That doesn't happen routinely, and it happens only because they are close to the Walker administration, I believe. And I think I would like to take a look at how these decisions are made and who's exactly approving these decisions. In terms of this idea of making a mistake on the original application, first of all, this is a very high-profile job. It has to go through several layers in the Department of Administration before it's posted, and a number of people, I'm assuming, had to sign off on it. And then Chief Irwin took the job at the original amount. So that was the deal he signed up for, and it was a deal under the civil service system. He knew that, or he should have known that, and that's where we stood. And now someone comes back and wants to rewrite history and say, well, that wasn't quite right, so we're going to make sure that you get an 11% pay increase, much more than any other worker working at one of our hospitals or in Department of Transportation or prison guards or anybody else. You, Mr. Police Chief, you're going to get an 11% raise. I think that's wrong.
Well, it's also noted that the $111,000, the raise, is what the former Capitol Police Chief Tubbs was making when he ended his tenure.
Sure, but I think the relevant number to look at is what the job was originally posted for. And that number was much lower than that. That's something that the chief agreed to do the job for.
We are talking with John Richards, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, a member of the legislature's Joint Audit Committee. He is calling for an audit of the retroactive pay increase that was given to Capitol Police Chief Dave Irwin. And we wonder if you share his concerns or not. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you buy the administration's explanation that this was all just paperwork to fix an honest mistake? Or do you suspect there's more to the story? Should there be an audit into this? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 22nd. We are talking with Democratic State Representative John Richards, who says that the retroactive salary increase for the Capitol Police Chief warrants a legislative audit. We are talking with Representative Richards about why he says this pay raise violates state rules and what he's hoping comes from a potential investigation. And we are welcoming your questions for him and your views on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after 7:30, by the way, we are going to be talking with a political scientist about the potential political fallout from the ongoing arrests at the state capitol. Nearly 300 protesters over the past month or so have been arrested for singing without a permit. And we'll wonder from our political scientist whether this is hurting or helping Governor Walker with voters. But before we continue talking about the call for the audit, Representative Richards, What is your take on the arrests that are taking place just about every day now in the state capitol rotunda? The participants in the Solidarity Sing-Along are not getting the required permit, saying they shouldn't have to ask permission to protest, and they're being arrested by the dozens. What's your take on this?
Well, I think it does raise some important questions about the First Amendment rights of people who are coming to the Capitol to express their views. But I also think that the best way and the most lasting way to deal with this is through the courts. And I know that we already have a team of lawyers working with the protesters and the singers, and they have been discussing this for quite some time. And I do believe that the best way to handle this is through the courts.
Yeah. Let's take some calls. We have Jack and Amaral with us, I think. Jack, where are you from?
Amaral.
Okay, I see. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Irwin ought to give the money back and start brown bagging it. You know, just like a Walker claim he did. He gets in office, and the people that help him get in office, he gives favors to, political favors, monetary favors. It's pretty obvious to me and should be obvious to everybody else. I mean, a 12% pay increase when the rest of Wisconsinites are struggling with pay reductions, lack of wage increases. It's absurd. Mm-hmm. It's obscene is what it is.
A reaction to that, Representative Richards?
Sure. You look at what happened with Chief Irwin, and it fits into a pattern that we're seeing with people who are politically close to Governor Walker. Cindy Archer, whose home was invaded by the FBI and was involved with the scandal that was being investigated by the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. She landed the job this month making over $100,000 with in the state agency. Reed Hall, who's in charge of WEDIC, the agency that was found to have violated the law multiple times by the Legislative Audit Bureau, he gets a 50% pay increase. Boy, it really makes you wonder where the priorities are at a time when we're not funding our schools, when we're throwing more people off of Badger Care than any other state in the nation, when we have some real issues involving keeping our university system thriving and making sure that we are funding our building program to make sure our properties are kept up, making sure that middle-class people have tax relief. Those are all places where we could be spending money wisely and productively. Instead, we're giving these massive pay increases to people who are friends of Governor Walker. I just don't think those are the right priorities.
Did you say that under very limited circumstances, a retroactive pay change can be made?
Under very limited circumstances, there has to be something egregious. For example, if there is a dispute involving a problem in the workplace or a law in the workplace, and there was a wage increase withheld because of that dispute, and the employee eventually wins that dispute, in that case, the pay increase can be retroactive. I think that makes sense, but you can't just be willy-nilly at someone's own discretion to say, well, you know, we like this guy, so what the heck? Let's give him a pay increase and make it retroactive. You can't do that.
Well, now, you are calling for this audit, hoping, how does this process work? The committee is chaired by two Republicans, Representative Samantha Kirkman and Senator Bob Coles. If they don't agree that there needs to be an audit, is that it?
Well, I'm afraid that is the way that the legislature is set up now, but I think this is an important test for the legislature. It's one of the dangers of having one-party control over everything, where when you have these kind of obvious shenanigans going on, there should be a natural check that comes from the legislature to say, hey, let's call a timeout, let's take a closer look at this, let's see who approved these increases and what we can do to hold them accountable and take that step. And I hope that we take that step. Both Democrats and Republicans come together to take a hard look at this. And I look forward to the response that I get from the co-chairs of the committee, both of whom I like personally, and hope that we can work together on this. And I hope this doesn't fall into a political basket where they say, well, this involves our guys, and so we're not going to take a close look at it.
So what exactly does an audit involve, anyway?
Well, the Legislative Audit Bureau is the nonpartisan agency set up to help the legislature look into a whole variety of issues. And the Legislative Audit Bureau does audits on everything that the state government is involved with. So, for example, earlier this year, there was a very high-profile audit of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and that was very helpful to see what was going on with that organization. because of that audit, we found that Weedick had violated the law multiple times, that they were misquoting their jobs performance numbers, that there were a number of serious problems, ongoing problems with that agency, and it allowed the legislature to come in and pass measures to bring that agency under control. And now that we have those laws in place and those rules in place, hopefully that we'll have a much better performance by Weedick and the state in general in terms of job growth. But the Audit Bureau has some real teeth to go in and to look at anything going on inside of the state agency, and then gives the legislature and the public a chance to see what's going on and respond to it.
So if there is an audit and it finds that there was something illegal as you see it, what happens then?
Well, I think we have to see who authorized these decisions. And then I think there has to be some appropriate action if people are engaging in illegal activity involving salaries for state employees, and where there's an aroma of political favoritism seeping into the civil service system. I think we have to take a serious look at who's making those decisions, and they should be held accountable, maybe even fired, depending on the nature of the violation.
Does this take the money away from the recipient?
No, that action, the investigation itself doesn't. But I would hope that just out of a matter of good conscience that the chief would return the $720 that was given to him as a retroactive pay increase, a highly, highly unusual step, clearly illegal under the state civil service laws, and also that the Walker administration would come in and reexamine that pay increase that really is out of line, both for the chief and for the deputy. 11% for the chief, 15% for the deputy. You talk to any prison guard or nurse or frontline worker in the state, that really seems outrageous and out of line.
But the actual amount that was retroactive, $720, a lot of people might say, well, that's not that much. Is that, why even bother?
All the more reason to give it back, because if it's easy to give it back, then give it back. I don't think that we should be engaging in retroactive pay increases for anybody, and when the law clearly states that they're not permitted. I should also add that the laws that we're talking about, or the rules we're talking about, were drafted by the Walker administration. These are their rules, and I think it's fair to say, well, if these are the rules you drafted and you want to impose these on all state employees, you should apply them to the people who are close to you and are doing your bidding, apparently. And so let's make sure that the rules apply to everybody, and the people who are politically close to you don't get a pass.
So there's nothing wrong with the transfer, the paper transfer into a ghost job or fake job?
No, I think there is something wrong with that. I think even if there wasn't a rule against it, I think that doesn't pass a smell test. I think that is just wrong to shift people around in state government in jobs that are completely unrelated, and to do those jobs for less than a day, that does not smell right, just for the sake of concocting a way to get this guy a pay increase.
But that this is legal.
That is wrong, and that also violates the civil service laws.
George in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, George. George, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the former chief had the larger pay because he had been in the job for several years. Oftentimes your pay goes up the longer you stay there. And being a former civil servant myself, I have to say that I have never seen anybody who was ever a civil servant who got the job at a particular salary just have it raised in this manner. Certainly never happened to anybody I knew.
Yeah. Representative Richards?
Oh, I know. I think this is highly unusual. George raises a good point. If you talk to anybody working in civil service and government in the state of Wisconsin or any city or county around Wisconsin, there are certain rules that you live by, and it's meant to shield the person there from political influence to make sure they're doing the people's work. But part of the deal in working in civil service is that you are assigned a pay level and you accept that. The police chief should have known that going into it, and he accepted the job at a certain pay grade, And now suddenly he goes along with the deal to move him around from job to job just for the sake of getting an 11% pay increase. I don't think that's right.
Matt emails, I work in a prison, and this practice is going on all over the state. I know several supervisors who are transferring into the same job at different institutions in order to get a $5 an hour raise. It is a way for the state to hide raises for supervisors while the general public employees get a 1% raise for the first time after 6 years. I talked to someone also who worked in the prison system who said this type of thing was happening as well. Are you aware of that, Representative Richards?
I'm not aware of that, and I think that's something we should address. But my guess is that when people are being transferred around, that they are not being transferred into fake jobs for the sole purpose of raising their pay. The gentleman references a new job inside the prison system. I'm assuming that they went into a different job, stayed in that job, and actually performed that job for a higher rate of pay.
I see. Well, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to talk to you, Joy.
John Richards, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee and member of the legislature's Joint Audit Committee, calling for an audit of the process and the retroactive pay increase for Capitol Police Chief Dave Irwin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.